Well, good morning, everyone. Hope everybody is doing well today. Sorry, I'm just writing some stuff down about our praise time this morning, as I think we've got a lot to be thankful for today, and we also have some stuff we need to pray for as a church body. Here's a few things that I'm bringing forward today. I just want to thank God for the amazing district that we have. This past week, I was privileged to take a part of kind of a session with the district, and they kind of got beat up a little bit in that session. It was kind of a feedback thing on how they're performing as a district, so they got beat up pretty bad by some pastors, including myself, unfortunately, and we just want to pray for them because we're thankful for them. They do great work for us, and they're a true blessing to our church here as they help to facilitate the transition before I got here. Another thing I'm super thankful is the Salvation Army. Going to be ringing bells for them again this November. I got that call, so that's exciting. And I also made Stephen respond to that call, so that's exciting for him. You know, this is the privilege of being an intern. It's just, hey, Salvation Army lady, I've got a person for you, and they kind of have to say yes. So that was good times. And this morning we have Grandma Ruth, who's in Bentley today. She's at a church reunion, and she's just speaking up front there. So she's asked for prayer from us as a group congregation here. And finally, one last thing for me to bring forward. Lorraine has asked for prayer for her son, Jeff. He's experiencing some depression right now, so we just pray that you know, the Holy Spirit fills him during this time and really interacts with him and changes his perspective on life. You know, when you have heartache, it's not fun. So he's going through some pretty brutal heartache right now. So if we can walk alongside Lorraine and her son, that would be fantastic. Thank you. Anybody else have anything they want to bring forward today? Yes, Denise. Mark's surgery, okay, Tuesday. Excellent. Well, we'll pray that that goes extremely well, and hopefully he can have it this time around. Okay. Okay. Shoot. Okay, good, good. Pour some love on those people because they're amazing, amazing people. Yes, Bethany. Yeah. For sure. Absolutely. Yes. Absolutely. I was concerned there for a second that you're going to be like, pray for patience for me when he gets back kind of thing. But, you know, that's what you should probably do with Michelle when I come back from a vacation or something. Just, you know, pray for her and if I have to go away and come back. Anyone else? Yes, Stephen. You know, I'll be honest, I don't envy you at this moment because I remember doing those on Friday nights and still not being recovered by the next Sunday. So good for you for, you know, showing your face around here. I'd be in rough shape. Actually, there's a lot of you that I know partook in that and are still here. So good on you. All right, well, let's take these to prayer. There's a lot here, so you know, if you write them down, that's fantastic. Help pray along with me during the week for these things, and that would be great. Lord Jesus, today we're so thankful for all that you give us, and we are beyond blessed as a church. out here on the hill where we stand out as people drive by. And so today we just want to lift you up and praise you for all that we have, for all that we are as a church. And we thank you for every board in this building and every door, every whatever there happens to be, Lord Jesus. We thank you for all that we have. And God, we thank you for the support that we get from our district as they are just amazing and they help out in so many different ways that most people probably don't recognize in this church and in other church bodies. So we lift them up today, the leadership, and we pray for encouragement amongst their hearts and that they would receive any sort of things that some pastors are struggling with good faith and not get wounded by those statements. Thank you for those men and women that serve on the district. And we thank you for amazing programs like the Salvation Army where we can help clothe people by donating or giving some clothing or whatever it happens to be, Lord Jesus. We just pray that the leadership continues to lead them down a road of excellence and that they are able to provide shelters for those that have none or provide clothing and food and just be an outstanding member of the community, Lord. We pray for a blessing upon that organization. And today we also want to lift up Grandma Ruth as she's out in Bentley and she's up on the stage probably right now just presenting you, Jesus, and we just thank you so much for her and just the prayer warrior she is. We thank you for her heart and her desire to follow you. Today we also want to lift up John as he was able to travel safely to Peterborough for his company Brandt, and we just pray that you continue blessing him with safe travels and that he would be blessed on his journey and he feel loved from our church as he's away in this moment. And we want to continue our praise and thank you for our amazing youth and the leaders that showed up on Friday. That is a tough one, Jesus. And so for the leaders today, we pray for refreshment, that your Holy Spirit would come on them and comfort them, and that you would give them just energy that they didn't even realize that they had after a taxing night like Friday would have been. We pray for those kids that showed up and that each one of them would have an encounter with you, whether it's through the leaders, whether it's through your Holy Spirit, Lord. We just pray that in some fashion you have impacted these kids' hearts and that you would be a blessing in their lives. Lord, reveal the truth of who you are to them. We pray that we would have many kids come to know Jesus through our youth group, through our youth events, and it would just continue to grow and be a big thing. Thank you, Jesus, for the youth that come out. So today, as a church body, we also pray for healing within our members or within our families or friends that are struggling in this moment. And we lift up Jeff to you today, Lord. As there's a great loneliness upon his heart. We pray that today that your hands would touch his heart and that you would reveal to him how loved he truly is as one of your creations, Lord. That he would feel your Holy Spirit and just know how much he is worthy of being called your child. Give comfort to Lorraine as she struggles with just hardships of watching her son go through a heartbreaking time. That is not easy on parents. So we pray for wisdom in the words upon the people around Jeff. He will be able to walk away from this state of depression. Sometimes it just impacts people for life, and we just pray that this is not one of those moments. Lord, we lift up Bernice as well. As we don't know the status of her cancer stuff, but she is struggling with that. And so we just pray for your healing hand upon her. That you would remove the cancer, and it would be very clear to everyone around her that it was you, Jesus, that healed her, and let it bring glory to your name. And we pray for Mark and Karen. And they don't know you in this moment, Jesus. But we pray for your Holy Spirit to come upon them. We pray for you to touch their hearts. And as Mark gets ready for surgery on Tuesday, we just pray that it would be able to go through, that his body would be healthy enough to actually perform a surgery on him, as it hasn't been the last few times. So we just pray for him right now, that your hands would come upon him. You would heal his body enough so the surgeons could work. And for Karen, we pray for her head and whatever that may be right now, and that the CT scans would come back clear and good. Jesus, we thank you for all that you do and continue to do with us. I pray this all in your name, Jesus. Amen. All right, so today, I want you all to know that Jesus is the Good Shepherd. Jesus is the Good Shepherd, and we, the people of this world who follow him, are his sheep. Scripture actually shows us many instances of God as shepherd. In fact, this is probably a comfortable analogy or metaphor for most people, which, if you actually break it down, is kind of concerning, because sheep are actually considered to be one of the dumbest animals there is. So it's like, shoot, that's unfortunate for us. But I think of old paintings and artwork that has Jesus as shepherd. My great-grandmother used to give pictures out to my sister and myself and my brother, and they would be pictures of Jesus in some fashion. My sister would always receive one of Jesus with, like, the flock of sheep around him. It was kind of cool. We were always excited to receive these things. But this week, I want us to look at an old Byzantine painting. It's found in Italy. If you're ever in Italy and you're one of those people that like to explore kind of old grave sites and stuff like that, you will find a painting like this. And as you look at the painting, what you see is that Jesus is sitting on a rock outcropping in the center of the painting. He has very extravagant shepherd's staff, and it's in the shape of a cross. And the pleasant little happy sheep, they're all gathered around him. He is stroking one sheep's face while another is just kind of, you know, as I see it, just really desiring to be touched as well on the other side of Jesus. It's almost like he's coveting that touch in a sense. I'm really bad at understanding art, though, so you'll have to excuse me for that. So as I was reading about this painting, I read that it is stated that one of the sheep is actually wandering off. I have yet to find that sheep or figure out which one it is. Maybe one of you can help me out with that one, but that's honestly the interpretation of this painting. There's water that is flowing from the rock, and we see all of this, and it's in a beautiful, lush garden. The dominant colors of this painting are blue, green, yellow, and gold, and it really gives off a pleasant vibe. The message behind it is one that people should clearly understand, including clueless people like me. The message is that one who follows Christ will not lack any good thing. This painting really is a good summation of Psalm 23. As in Psalm 23, it reads, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." The image of Jesus as shepherd is not just found in Psalm 23, though, as we can find it in Psalm 100, verse 3. Know that the Lord is God. It is He who made us, and we are His people. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 11 says, He tends His flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in His arms and carries them close to His heart. He gently leads those that have young. And the New Testament carries on this imagery as well. As we read in Mark chapter 6, verse 34, when Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, He had compassion on them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So He began teaching them many things. Mark 14, 27 states, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. Hebrews 13, 20, Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep. And 1 Peter 5, 4, And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that will never fade away. These verses, they show the love of the shepherd for his sheep as he displays sympathy, vigilance, and an unfailing love. It just resounds, that imagery that we see up there. John 10 is not alone in his declaration of Jesus as the good shepherd, as we read this in John chapter 10. Starting in verse 1, it says this, I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. People, today, I want you to know that Jesus is our good shepherd. What a fantastic picture that is for us. You know, all these passages that we just talked about, God is pictured as the shepherd. And we should, as should the Pharisees of that time, should be able to easily understand what John chapter 10 is actually talking about. It seems pretty simple, doesn't it? It would have been a whole lot easier probably for the Pharisees during that time, I'm thinking, as not many of us, I presume, in this congregation are shepherds of or have any sort of like sheep farming capabilities at all. And so because of that, we have a few understanding as to how the sheep actually work and how a sheepfold actually functions. Is the sheepfold that's presented in John chapter 10, is it the world? Maybe it's the church. Some people actually see it as heaven. And some people point to the sheepfold as humanity, while others point to the sheepfold as the Jews. These are just a few understandings of the sheepfold in John 10. So it's not so easy to identify what this parable is about. The one thing that is easy to understand is that Jesus is the shepherd for everybody. In this passage, though, we still need to wonder who the watchman or the porter is. Who are the thieves or the thief? These questions all arise. And the thing we need to do with these passages is to remember this little thing called context. Not only that, but we need to understand that as Jesus uses the shepherd imagery, he uses it in various aspects. Just as some artists paint pictures of the same thing, they can still look very different, can they not? So it is with Jesus when he uses the term shepherd, as it takes on different meanings. So we start by seeing that John chapter 10 is where we find this parable. It's easy enough as we look at our Bible. But what it needs to remind us of is that this parable, it falls on the heels of what we just went through in the healing of the blind man that had just occurred. This healed man, blind man, was treated horribly by his local church pastors, the Pharisees of that time. And he was treated horribly by his family and his neighbors. So as we turn to John chapter 10, we see that John does not write as though a transition has occurred. He usually tends to do this throughout his Gospels, as he writes things like after these things, after this, on the next day, or even as Jesus passed by. We're not given one of those in chapter 10, so we need to understand that this is most likely a story that is emphasizing the occurrences that has just happened in John 9. This means that this parable is related to what has just occurred with the healing of the blind man and the unkind church leaders. In saying that, it does not mean that this occurs immediately after Jesus' interaction with the blind man, but it is pointing the reader to understand the parable in light of the incident. And in understanding this parable in light of the healed blind man and the Pharisees, we should be able to answer a few questions we may have. First off, those thieves that are referred to in John 10 are none other than the false shepherds of Israel. Guess who that is? Those are those Pharisees, the leaders that are challenging Jesus, that are kind of treating this healed blind man in such a horrible fashion. The sheepfold is most likely Judaism or the nation of Israel. They're the ones who hear the voice of Jesus and respond to his call. And they do respond to it, just like they respond to a shepherd. An example of this is actually the blind man that Jesus has healed as he responds to the voice of Jesus in chapter 9. We all saw that unfold, hopefully. If you weren't there for some of the series, just go back and read John 9. Make it one of your goals to read your word. That's a good thing. Within chapter 10, though, we will find that there's an occurrence of two different sheepfolds. The first is a sheepfold that is found in the countryside. This sheepfold is pretty much just a circling of rocks. This is where the shepherd would lead his sheep, and there's no door to it, as it's kind of like a naturally built one. And the only kind of prevention that the shepherd had would be to lie in front of the opening and prevent his sheep from getting out. This is the sheepfold that Jesus speaks of when he says, "I am the gate," found in John chapter 10, verse 9. The other sheepfold that Jesus talks of is a little more extravagant. I don't know if you could really say that about sheepfolds, mind you. But in this case, I guess it is. It's a sheepfold that is found in towns and villages. It consists of an enclosure with a gate for access. In today's sheepfold, we would probably picture fences as the enclosure with a gate that opens up so they can come in and go out. But shepherds would bring their sheep to town at night as they returned to their village where they lived. At night, though, they would place a person in charge of watching over the sheep. This person was called the watchman or the porter. They would make sure the sheep were safe. At least you hope they would. In most cases, they would. There'd be times that the watchman or the porter would not do their job because they were too scared or frightened by the thieves or whatever it was. It wasn't their sheep. But morning would roll around, and the shepherd would return to the flock. The shepherd would call his sheep, and they would respond to his call. They would move where he moved, and they would kind of be directed by this shepherd. He would lead them out to a pasture to graze, where he would keep his watchful eye upon them for the day. This is the main sheepfold that Jesus focuses on in John chapter 10. So what does the sheepfold represent in John 10? I'll say this, it's not heaven, as robbers and thieves do not have access to heaven. It is not the church, as the shepherd does not lead the sheep away from the church. As I pointed out earlier, it is most likely the nation of Israel, Judaism. So Jesus presents himself to his people, and he calls out to those who know him. Later on, Jesus in John 10:16, he says that he will soon call out other sheep from other fields. and they would join the great flock as one. This great flock is the church, and it is led by one shepherd, and that is Jesus. John 10:16 says, "I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd." You know, I kind of took a shot at the watchman earlier, or the porter. In this case, though, it's not really something that I should be taking a shot at, as the watchman or porter is actually God. As he oversees us at night, it's the Holy Spirit. He's the one who opens up the gate to Christ and releases the sheep to the shepherd that is calling us. He is the one protecting us. He is faithful, and he does not give up on us in any fashion. So when we look at the parable, what the parable is teaching us is this. Jesus knows his sheep. Jesus knows his sheep, and this is something that we should see as beautiful when we think about it, as each one of us is known by Jesus. John 10:3 says this, "The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out." John 10:14 also states this, "I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me." The sheep are known to Jesus as the Father is the one that has given the sheep to him. John 10:29, "My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hands." Jesus knows and loves his sheep, and he will die for his sheep. John 10:14 to 15, "I am the good shepherd, I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep." This is where we need to pay attention closely. As I want you to know that Jesus knows you. Jesus knows you, and Jesus knows me. He died for you and for me, his sheep, in order that we may have a way to heaven and eternal life. Know that we are called his and that we are known by him. When you truly know someone, though, you know all that there is to know about that person. We can probably honestly say we don't truly actually know anybody in this room. Right? We don't know every dirty detail or every kind of hidden secret that the other person in this room has, even our own spouses. Jesus knows that all, though. He knows everything about you. He died for you and he died for me, even though he knows everything about us, even though we are sinners. Even though we have dirty little secrets, even though we have lies, he died for us. He knows that we're sinners. And he died even though we do not deserve salvation. We do not deserve any sort of justification or righteousness. Think about that. He knows us. He knows everything that we got in there. He knows you just as you are today, sin and all, and he still took the cross on for you. Romans chapter 5, verse 6 to 8, you see at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though for a good person, someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus died for us, even though we are sinners. You know, this should move our line of thinking from kind of ourselves to that love that Jesus has for each and every one of us, his sheep. While you are still sinners, Christ died for you. While I am still a sinner, Christ died for me. This is truth, and it's true even for us today. Just as it was true when Jesus ventured this earth in the form of flesh. Bishop Brooke Foss Westcott says, "As it is, nothing in his flock is hidden from him. Their weaknesses, their failures, their temptations, their sins, the good which they have neglected when it was within reach, the evil which they have pursued when it lay afar, all is open before his eyes. He knows them and he loves them still." He loves each and every one of you in this room, no matter where you are today in your journeys. Jesus calls his sheep by name, and his sheep hear his call and follow him. Look at the response of some of his disciples. Matthew chapter 9, verse 9, as Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," he told him, and Matthew got up and followed him. A lone sheep of Christ was called by the shepherd, and Matthew, the sheep, recognized the voice of Jesus and followed his shepherd. Then John chapter 1, verse 43 says this: "The next day Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, 'Follow me.' Once again, the shepherd called, and the sheep went with him as Philip pursued Jesus." John 11 has Lazarus called to by Jesus, and once again we see the sheep respond. Then in John chapter 20, verse 10 to 16, it says this: "Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, 'Woman, why are you crying?' 'They have taken my Lord away,' she said, 'and I don't know where they have put him.' At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, 'Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?' Thinking he was the gardener, she said, 'Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him.' Jesus said to her, 'Mary.' She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, 'Rabboni,' which means teacher." Look at that whole story as Jesus is interacting with Mary at this point in time and having this conversation. And when he finally puts her name in his mouth, that is when she responds and says, "Rabboni," as she understood that it was Jesus that was talking to her, recognized his voice, recognized her name in his voice. And then there's Luke chapter 19, verse 5. I kind of like this story because it may not seem it right now. I used to be one of the shortest kids in class, so I always used to think of myself as like a little Zacchaeus. And so, you know, as he climbed up that tree to see Jesus, it says this in Luke 19:5. "When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, 'Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house.'" And teeny tiny little wee Zacchaeus, what was his response? It was this in verse 6. "So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly." Everyone, family, friends, I want you to know today, Jesus is calling your name. Jesus knows you. He knows you with all your failures and all of your sin. He knows all of that. But he also knows what he's going to make you. Romans 8, 29 to verse 30 says this: "For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. And those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified." Do you hear his call today? It's a most wonderful call if you get it, if you hear it. As he knows each and every one of us personally, he is the shepherd, Jesus Christ. He knows you today. And Jesus is the shepherd that leads us. And he leads us to a great flock, and he leads us into green pastures where he wants to tend over us. We saw how the blind man responded, that Jesus led him away from a religious lifestyle that had snared the blind man's family and neighbors and led the blind man to himself. Jesus wants to lead you out of your allegiances that are false. Ones that you've made with the world. He is the good shepherd. He led people away from paganism. He's led people away from materialism. He's led people out of Gnosticism. And that's just like this study of wisdom. He leads people out of competitive circumstances and lifestyles where people feel they need to outdo one another by having bigger and better stuff. He leads us away from those worldly goals and ambitions. Today, I want you to know that Christ is calling you out, and he wants to lead you away from all of that. He calls out to you. He's calling you from an allegiance that you have in your life towards himself. And so today I pray that you hear Jesus, that you hear him deep in your spirit and your soul. I pray that you hear his word and that you identify your need for his word and for his love as he calls out your name. So today I pray that you follow the good shepherd and that you will respond to Jesus just as Zacchaeus did, as he immediately followed Jesus. He immediately got off that tree. That's got to be pretty tough for a short guy, but he did it anyways. He got down. Today I want you to know millions of people have made this same decision. They made a decision to follow Jesus, as he is the good shepherd. Jesus is your good shepherd. He is my good shepherd. And he is the only shepherd of this church. If you're feeling the call today, I invite you to join me in prayer as the worship team gets ready up front here. Lord Jesus, today I have heard the call from you. I've heard you call my name. It was a personal one. And so today, Lord Jesus, I want you to know that I believe in you. And I choose to follow you all of my days. Lord Jesus, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Fill me with your love and let me be a conduit to spread your word and your name to those in my community. Thank you for loving me, even though I'm broken and full of sin and I have all this stuff in my life. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. I accept you into my life today, Jesus. I pray this in your name. Amen.